Today's message is Tabitha, a disciple of Jesus. And I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all mothers and even grandmothers a very blessed Mother's Day. And it is indeed very God-honoring to honor all our mothers and grandmothers on this day. And I think Mother's Day ought to be celebrated not just today, but every day. And somebody said that a child is carried in his mother's womb for 9 months, but somebody does not know that a child is carried in his mother's heart forever. So we know how great a mother's love, and so much so that this novelist Rudyard Kipling said that because God cannot be everywhere, so therefore God created mothers. It's just his way of expressing his gratitude to his mother's love for him. So indeed, we should not also forget our sisters in Christ here who are spiritual mothers in their own special ways to their loved ones, to their nephews, their nieces, and also our sisters serving in the ministries of our church, the Sunday school, and even now concurrently we have the children's ministry going on, whereby they are teaching and nurturing the children, instructing them in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our day, a day for all our sisters here who have been a blessing to us. And so likewise for Tabitha, she has been a blessing to the women folk, specifically the widows, when she gave her heart, soul, and heart, soul, and love to them. And so you will notice, as you have read the passage just now during the responsive reading, that Luke omits many details of Tabitha. Do we know how she looks like? No. Do we know her age? Do we know her family members? Whether she has a husband? Whether she has children? We do not know all this. We do not know all this. But one thing we know, she has a very loving heart, a servant's heart, caring heart for others, and she was indeed a spiritual mother to the widows that she lived with. And so she lived in Joppa, and Joppa is a city which is now called Jaffa. Last time, many years back, when I was young, we in the supermarkets they sell or they sold Jaffa oranges, but now I don't see any Jaffa oranges. But anyway, this Joppa or Jaffa today is being absorbed into the bigger city called Tel Aviv. And so Jaffa or Joppa is just 56 kilometers northwest of Jerusalem. So you will also remember that Joppa, this name, this city's name, rings a bell in terms of the minor prophet Jonah, how God called him to go to Nineveh to preach. But instead, he took a ship at Joppa to go to Tarshish instead. So here we can see that Joppa was a very busy port and a port of trading, and therefore the gospel would be easily set forth from this port. So Tabitha's story is like a bridge of how the gospel would go from Judea, from Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. So God, in his providence, deliberately placed Tabitha in a city from which her story could spread to other lands. And it was also because of Tabitha that Peter came to Joppa from Lydda, and from there, Peter had a vision when he stayed with this Simon the tanner, and God asked him to eat the unclean animals in the vision. And so after that, he was called to the house of the Roman centurion, Cornelius, and from there, the Gentiles were being preached. So it was also a ground prepared for Paul, whereby Paul would one day, after his conversion, be spreading the gospel, preaching to the Gentiles. So here we can see that this passage is actually a bridge for all this spreading of the gospel according to the theme of Acts 1:8, that the gospel will be from Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So this Tabitha, there are three lessons that we can learn today. And I pray that the Lord will help us to apply what we have learned. And the first lesson is that Tabitha lives a life that follows Jesus. So Luke introduces Tabitha with another name, and that is Dorcas. And this Dorcas is a Greek name for Tabitha. Tabitha is an Aramaic name for this animal called the gazelle, or a kind of deer. So this mentioning of these both names shows that her ministry is not just to the Jewish believers, but also to the Hellenistic or to the Greek believers. So this deer or gazelle brought to mind the image of grace, image of beauty and swiftness in times of need. So here we can see that this gazelle is so suitable for this Tabitha, because she indeed show forth that grace of God in her and to the people, that inner beauty and that swiftness to do the work of God for His glory. So you may ask, how did then Tabitha, living so far away from Jerusalem, 56 kilometers, know the gospel? Well, before, as we are aware, there was a great persecution thanks to the Apostle Paul, how he was so zealous to bring every believer who professed Christ to cast them into prison or to persecute them in the matter of death also. So as a result, these believers were scattered throughout the whole land of Israel. And we can see in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, one chapter before, it says that therefore there they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. So Tabitha may have been the recipient of the gospel when the persecuted believers came to Joppa, and she heard the word, God converted her, saved her, and she believed and she placed her trust in Jesus. And so there was no turning back. For her, she became a devoted follower of Jesus. How we know that she became a devoted follower of Jesus? Firstly, we know that she's the only woman in the New Testament that was explicitly identified as a disciple. Right? If you were to read Acts 9:36, that she was a disciple. And this disciple is in a feminine noun and of the masculine noun of metates. So this disciple is in the Greek is matetria. And so here we can see how amazing the Holy Spirit is, as he inspired Luke to write that this disciple, this honor was given to this Tabitha. So this title was not given to Mary or to Martha, or even to Priscilla, or any other woman, but only to Tabitha. So she stood out as a faithful, devoted follower of Christ. And the disciple is also a learner. And so this Tabitha would have learned from the teachings of those who preach the gospel, learned from Jesus. And here we can see how the Lord honors Tabitha to give her this title of a disciple. So it also reminds us that before God, there's no inequality between men and women, men and women. And so everyone has equal potential in the eyes of God. So though we have different roles in the church, we have the same value and worth before God. So women are never inferior to men. And Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So Tabitha lived and followed Jesus, and she loves this Jesus who have saved her, and she obeyed his word and commandment. She let the word of God influence every part of her life. And at any point, she, as a sinner, she could have chosen the opposite. She could have chosen to not to love Christ, her master, chosen to disobey, chosen not to be a follower. But no, her hands was put to the plow. She will look forward, she will obey and be a disciple of Jesus, because she is compelled by the love of Christ. And to her, there's no other master but only Christ. So once we become a Christian, it doesn't stop where we are. We have to be a learner. We have to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. So Jesus is our master. You don't need a discipler to come and disciple you, but you just go to his word, understand his word, study his word, and to follow God's commandment. And your heart must be bubbling with love for this Jesus, to be have this passion for Jesus. Sent as for all of us, some of us who are mothers, we have to be careful also that our lives are not to be revolving around our children. And remember last time in China, how children have become little emperors in their home. And so we are not to revolve our lives around our children, but revolve our lives around our master, that is Jesus. We are to not to let our children be a hindrance for us to grow closer to God. We cannot often use excuses that, oh, our children, because our children takes a lot of my time, and therefore I cannot read the Bible, I cannot come to church, I have no time to pray. And God gives us children for us to nurture them. It's not for not God does not give us children to break that relationship, to sever that relationship with God. So we ought to maintain our walk with God and to be sanctified by Him, by the Holy Spirit, and to draw closer to God. And as this former president of United States, Abraham Lincoln, said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother." So I pray for mothers here that you must check yourself. You find your life revolving around your children. Children comes first, God last. That is not right already. Children have become our idols. So, like Tabitha, choose to be a disciple. Follow Jesus. Let him be your master, not your child. So, regardless of what state we are in, whether we are men or women, we ought to be a genuine disciple of Jesus. Don't stop where you are as a Christian, but take a further step to be a learner, to be a disciple of Jesus. So this message is not putting you on a guilt trip for mothers especially, because we may be oversensitive or sensitive, but it's basically a challenge to you to do what is right in God's eyes, to follow what Jesus requires of us. So that is the first lesson we learned, that God wants us to live a life that follows Jesus. And second lesson is a life that lives for Jesus. So Tabitha was a disciple, and she lived according to the vocation that God has called her, to love him and to love her neighbor as herself. She's basically fulfilling the Ten Commandments. Jesus says the summary of the Ten Commandments is to love God and to love man. So this love for Christ overflows out from her and reaching out to others. So this verse 36, It says here, this woman, referring to Tabitha, was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So the word good works, the word good here refers to what is intrinsically good and that will have benefits to others, beneficial to others. And these good works is basically speaking of a general act of kindness of Tabitha to the people. And alms deed is more specific. It has to do particularly with the acts of mercy that relieves the burdens of the poor and needy. And here in this context is to the widow. And did Tabitha do all this irregularly? Or when she has the mood to do, she does it? Or she did it habitually or frequently? Of course, the answer is frequently, habitually. And this can be found if you were to read the Greek text, whereby the word was, that means this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. The word was and did were all in imperfect tense. Imperfect tense brings out the fact that she is continuing. She was continuing doing the work without any rest. She was continuing, and it's not on an ad hoc basis. So you can see that Tabitha, a real historical figure, did all these things. And you can see that her heart, her mind, her time was devoted to Christ, was devoted to the people of Christ, of Jesus. And her life was full of good works, full, not half empty, half full, but full of them, full of good works and alms deeds. And today, it is sad to see people who are filled with more words than works, more talk than action. But God wants us, as we have in this life with Him, that God wants us to have more action, to reach out to others, to touch lives. And so, as what James said in the epistle, faith without works is dead. So may our hearts bear fruits for the Lord to touch lives. And Galatians 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So what is God's desire? That we may find opportunity to do good works unto all men, do good unto all men. And what God requires of us is that inner beauty, that grace that God has given to us to bring that grace to others, that mercies that God has given to us to others. God is not concerned of your fancy clothes or the how much money you have pumped in your cosmetics to make yourself beautiful. God is more concerned of your heart, the inner beauty that God wants of you, that fruit of the Spirit, that love, that joy, and that compassion, that meekness, that patience. So this is what God wants us to do, that we may be like Tabitha, who did all this, that we too can be challenged to do all these things too, to be full of good works and alms deeds for others. So we ought therefore to appreciate what Tabitha did to sew coats and garments for these widows, because as Peter was already there, they were weeping, they showed the coats and garments that Tabitha had clothed them. So we ought to remember that in those days, clothes are very hard to come by. So in the first century, there's no such thing as malls, shopping centers whereby you can get your clothes readily. They have to get raw materials to put them into something that they can produce as cloth, and then they have to make threads from yarns, and then they have to sew with the needle. There's no such thing as advanced machines to do that. So everything has to be labor intensive and very time consuming. So with that, you will appreciate what Tabitha did to the widows, that indeed she spent her time, investing her time for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel. Would she face criticisms? Of course, she would face criticisms. In life, you cannot please everyone. No matter how good that you have done to others, there'll be criticisms, there'll be remarks that will be hurting, but we don't see Tabitha giving up. And therefore, you could see the women folk, the widows, is stated here in the passage that all widows were there weeping for her. So Tabitha's ministry changed the life for the widows who were suffering alone in silence. And widows, to be a widow means you have no protection. You have no fiscal protection, legal protection, financial assistance at all. And so that's why Jesus condemns the teachers of the law for devouring widows' houses in Mark 12:40, because they were taking away from the widows what little that they have. So these unscrupulous religious leaders were exploiting the widows' widows' vulnerabilities. So here we know that God loves the widows, God cares for the widows, and God used Tabitha to reach out to the widows. And so this Tabitha was reaching out to them, and you can see how that she touched their lives with the gospel, and she became a channel of God's love to the widows. And through her, the widows may have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So Tabitha is not just clothing them, keeping them warm. The coats and garments, coats is not this coat. Coats here refers to the inner wear, and the garments refers to the outer wear. So she not only clothed them, she clothed them with dignity. She helped them to regain their dignity as a widow. And so they were able to walk down the streets with their heads held high, because they were made special by God, made special by God through Tabitha. So Tabitha's example was very simple, very personal. She just used whatever skills she has, her resources, and she gave her heart to the Lord's work. She served the people for the sake of the people, not for herself. There are people today who would serve only the rich and powerful to leverage on them so that they would climb up the society's ladder. They'll have some leverage so that they can be known and be famous. But there's nothing to gain from serving the very poor, very marginalized widows at that time. Tabitha has no ulterior motive, but she knows that she was saved to serve. And that's her identity. She's a disciple. She's saved to serve. And she's not trying to get personal gain. And that should be how we lived for the Lord. That when God calls us to be disciples, we ought therefore to serve. And we serve with no ulterior motives, but all for Christ. And Tabitha just lived out her whole life, poured out her life to the widows, so much so that it impacted the widows, and that her death brought so much sorrow to them. So when they weep during, when Tabitha died, it's not to say, oh no, who will make clothes for us in the future? It's not that kind of weeping. But that weeping is that deep loss, that honor that they have for this disciple of Jesus. So here we are reminded that even as We serve quietly behind the scene, especially mothers. You serve quietly behind the scene. It's a thankless task. Your children may not come to you and thank you. Your husband may not appreciate you. But you know, God appreciates you. God knows you. And God knows how much you have given to the family, how much tears you have shed on your pillow, and how much heartaches that you have for your children, the burden that is always gnawing at you. Whenever your children go to school, so God knows you, and so continue to live out the gospel, continue to live out for Christ, and to just do what God calls you to do as a mother. It's the highest vocation that God has given you. Don't belittle yourself, don't underestimate yourself. And praise God if you are a homemaker. Your work is the highest calling than any other occupations in the world. And so you must remember, first of all, you have to be a disciple of Christ. And so live out and pour out your life to your loved ones, because God will reward you. So there were four pastors who were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible, and one liked a particular version best because of its simple, beautiful English. So another pastor preferred a more scholarly edition because it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked a contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. But the fourth pastor was silenced for a moment when he was asked, "So, what's your favorite translation?" Then he paused and said, "I think I like my mother's translation best." So they were surprised. "What, your mother translated the Bible?" Said, "Yes, she translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." So this fourth pastor saw his own mother translating the Bible into life, living out the Bible for him. And therefore, you could see how God, in his own mysterious way, will impact anyone if we live out our life for others. No one may feedback to you, but that person who has been impacted may benefit so much from your life that is lived out for Christ. So we thank God for Tabitha, and we now go to the third lesson, that Tabitha lives a life proving there is hope in Jesus. So as we are aware, Tabitha fell sick and tragically she died, but all things will work out together for good, because if you were to notice, the widows and the disciples, even though they were in great sorrow, they brought the body to the upper room. And it was a strange thing to do, because according to that time, the Jewish custom is to bury the dead person on the same day the person died. So, but why would they bring up to the upper chamber and lay her on the bed? Because they might have that faith and hope in God that God may bring this Tabitha back to life. Or they have heard about Peter doing miracles in near Joppa, where the place called Lydda, and how he healed a man who was paralyzed for 8 years. And so they quickly sent two men to call him there. So here we can see that they have this hope. There's this hope in life, this hope that Tabitha can be raised up to life. And so verse 38 says, "For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them." So Peter went and acceded the request and went to Joppa. And he too had that hope when he heard the testimonies of the widows, the sorrowful mourning of the widows in the upper room. And he asked them to go out, and he knelt and he prayed. And so this is how Peter, even though he has hope, he will not neglect to trust in God, to believe that by prayer, God will do his work. So he wanted also that the outcome, if Tabitha is alive, the focus will not be on him, but on God himself. So Peter, here in verse 40, says, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him into the body, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she set out. So Peter extended his hand after that. And it is very interesting, because you were to compare to the healing of Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8, you can see that Jesus, like Peter, or Peter followed Jesus' pattern, put them all out, and he took this Jairus' daughter by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. Or Mark 5:41 says, Talitha kumi. So Peter would have said, Tabitha kumi, right? And so, and here we can see, and her spirit came again, and she rose straight away, and he commanded to give her meat. So here we can see that Jesus first took the hand of the girl and directed her to arise. But Peter didn't. Peter directed her to arise and then took her hand. Why the difference? Because to show us, Luke is telling us that the life itself flowed from the Lord to the little girl directly. Whereas for Peter, it is only after her restoration that he took her hand. So life flows from Jesus' hands to this girl, Jairus' daughter. And for Peter, same, it is God, Jesus, who gave life to this little girl. And after that, then he took her hand. So that proves to us that Jesus, in Jesus we have life. In Jesus, we have that resurrection hope. But one day, bodily, we will be resurrected when Jesus come again in the clouds to meet us. And that is the hope that we have, and what we call the blessed hope, what the Bible calls the blessed hope. So God gives us this hope always. And Tabitha was a living testimony of this, of the believer's hope in Christ, that he, if she can be raised up from the dead, one day they too can be raised up from the dead. And that is our hope as believers too, that no matter what trials that we are going through, what darkness we face in life, what problems that may be insurmountable and daunting, we will always have this hope. This resurrection of Jesus is not a postscript, it's the foundation of our faith. And that is the hope that God has given to us. And because of that, in verse 42, many people believe in the Lord because of it. So as mothers, oftentimes we felt very lousy. I often heard mothers saying, I'm a lousy mother, I'm a lousy mother. Because of the many struggles that they have, their own expectations of themselves. And sometimes they face the very darkest moments of their lives, desperate days of their lives, when things are not within their control, when the children are sick in hospital, when you have immense, for young mothers, the struggle to breastfeed your child, and the child will not latch on, and you feel so frustrated, feel so lousy, and when they grow up, your child is delinquent and turned away from the Lord, they will not reaffirm their faith. And you pray, but nothing happens. But remember, don't be hopeless. Tabitha is a living testimony of Jesus giving life, giving hope. And so this same Jesus will give us this hope, give us this life, that everything will be made beautiful, not in our time, but in Jesus' time. And we continue to pray and always believe that when Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We shall live not just on this earth, but we shall live forever. And that's our hope. And when we have given this hope, we will continue to persevere, to be disciple, and continue to pour our lives to our children, despite their waywardness. And one day when they see Christ in us, they will turn to Christ. And so Peter himself said in 1 Peter 1:3, remember how he denied Christ, but yet after he was restored, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A lively hope, not a dead hope, but a lively hope, a living hope. And Job, the patriarch who lived in the days of Abraham, when he was all his property and children were taken away, his body health was taken away, he was scratching and trying to scratch his sores on his body, and the three friends accused him without any basis, and yet you could see his hope. It says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And so this hope helped Job to persevere on in spite of the darkest days and nights that he went through. And God rewarded his faith. And God will also give us this hope too, if we choose to hope in him and not to be sunk with our feelings, but to rise above our feelings, to have this hope in Jesus. So keep pressing onward. And as today is Mother's Day, always honor children, always honor your mothers, your grandmothers, and those who care for you, those sisters who care for you, and continue to hope in this Jesus. And there's no regrets in following this Master and to live a life for him. So let us have a servant's heart and be faithful disciple of Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that we can have this story to remind us that we are to be faithful disciple of yours, to live a life for you, and to thank you for the hope that you have given to us despite the many trials in life. So we commit ourselves to you. Thank you that today we can celebrate this Mother's Day. I want to thank you for all the sisters here who have given their lives to you and their lives to us, who have touched our lives and encouraged us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.